We're going to carry on from where we stopped the last time. We started a series last week called I Met Jesus. I Met Jesus on an Ordinary Day. I Met Jesus on an Ordinary Day. And I think the whole essence of this is just to bring us to the same point that Jesus brought this woman that we'll be looking at. He brought her to a point where she realized that, look, life in the context of the Christian faith doesn't have to be dramatic all the time. You can, as you're going about your normal daily business, going to work, going to school, you can encounter Jesus that way. And I dare say, we actually encounter Jesus on a daily basis. He speaks to our heart. He prompts our spirit sometimes. But we're not aware sometimes that it is God actually prompting our spirit that way, and we're waiting for something quite dramatic. So we looked at a number of things last week, and I will carry on from there. So the first point I made last week was that Jesus is interested in you and I in the context of our everyday life. Not just when we come to church on the Sunday, as you're going to work, going to school, as you're lying on your bed thinking, what am I going to be doing tomorrow? What am I going to be doing next week? What do I need to do? How do I need to do this and that? Jesus is right there with you in your context. So he's with us on a daily basis in the context of our everyday life. The other thing I mentioned was that Jesus doesn't always have to appear to us in a dramatic fashion. I was saying last week that there was once I went to meet Apostle Williams, a general overseer. I had a conversation with him. I mean, this is someone that has seen angels. Jesus has appeared to him. God has taken him to heaven. He's seen all sorts of things. And the question I asked him was, Dad, how are you like this? And I was expecting like a great theological discourse. Like, okay, you have to, you know, do this fast 40 days and 40 nights and all those things. But he smiled and he told me one thing that stuck out. He said, look, very simple. And I was like, okay, tell me. He said, just love Jesus sincerely and wholeheartedly, and that's it. And I said, just love Jesus sincerely and wholeheartedly? He said, yes. That's it. So, the question I had for us last week is this, which is a really important one if we're going to move forward in the life that Jesus has called us to. So that question I asked is this, and it's a very individualistic question. And that question is this: what does God really think about you? And what do you think God thinks about you? So it's two different questions. The first question is, what does God really think about you as you are seated here? And what do you think God thinks about you as you're sitting down here? And what I found is that we often have a very different opinion of, no, let me not say different opinion. Our opinions are often far away from what God really thinks about us, oftentimes. And with the case of this woman, she was at the well. She met Jesus there. And as far as she was concerned, her life was just, she was just going to live under the radar. Fetch water, go to work, just survive. And when it's time for her to leave this world, she would depart. So she went on an ordinary day to get some water. Maybe her routine was, I'll get water, I'll take the water home, I'll make some dinner, I'll eat. Next day, I'll repeat the same thing. So in her own view, maybe God wasn't annoyed with her, but God couldn't really be interested in her per se because of the view she had about herself. Why would God be interested in her, she thought. I don't know the Bible. I have like 5 boyfriends. So she just thought, look, God can't really want to have anything to do with me, so let me just take my life easy. Okay, maybe her own case is a bit different. If I bring it home to us, we might be thinking, well, I'm just going to go to church on a Sunday. I like the way Pastor Benson sings. I hope Pastor Benson is playing guitar this Sunday so I can. And after that, I'll go home for dinner, look after my kids. Monday starts, I go to work, and that's how my life goes on. But Jesus thought differently about this woman. Her life, even though it was okay in her own eyes, there was more that Jesus wanted to do with this woman. There was more that God had in stock for her. And she was totally unaware of these things. So the main thing that Jesus did, the main thing that Jesus had to do to her was to show her where she was and bring her to where she needed to be. So Jesus highlighted a number of points in her life. Jesus began to have a conversation with her. He highlighted the fact that she was prejudiced. When Jesus asked her for water, she said, "What? I'm a Jew. Jews have nothing to do. Sorry, I'm a Samaritan. Samaritans have nothing to do with Jews." So Jesus highlighted that. Then he highlighted her religious views as well. She had some views about the Christian faith, different from what was the reality of it. So theologically, she was far out. Jesus highlighted that. Then after Jesus highlighted those 2 points, he now came to her personal life, something that I suspect she didn't really know anyone knew about. Jesus asked her, "Where's your husband?" She says, "Well, I have no husband." Jesus now says, "That's right. You have no husband, and the man you're with now is not your husband." And I think at that point, she just calmed down. It's like, man, this is going a bit personal now. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't say to her, "Well, I'm sorry, your life, I'm not quite sure you can be of any use to me." Jesus didn't stop there. So he highlighted all these things to her. And in her own mind, maybe these are the things that she probably thought would had disqualified her from ever being of any use to God. Now, am I saying God wants us to carry on in a lifestyle that is not according to? No, he doesn't want us to. But the point Jesus made in this woman's life was this. What you think about yourself, what life thinks about you, what you've gone through, and all those things are, let me not use the word irrelevant, because you've lived life like that. All those things do not have the power to stop the plan that God has for you. Jesus was making the point that there is nothing in this world that you have gone through. There is nothing that you think you can't do or can do. Your opinions about yourself, other people's opinion about you, life's opinion about you, these things do not have the power to affect what God has planned for you. However, there's one very important point, and that's an if. I'm going to put an if after that point. So the if is this. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. I hope I'm not sounding like this American motivational speaker. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. No, I'm proper Brit. So the if is this. The if after that statement. The if is saying that, look, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is if you and I agree with Jesus that the plans he has for us can still work in our lives. That is the only thing. Jesus wants our agreement. Once we can agree with him, then it's job done. Once we can agree with Jesus that everything that he has said about you and I, every plan that he has for you, irrespective of how you have gone through life till this point, irrespective of what challenges you've experienced or are not experiencing, irrespective of your view of yourself, Jesus says, if you and I can put all those things aside and just agree with him, even if we're not sure about how things are going to work out or what Jesus is going to do with us, he just wants our agreement. He just wants our agreement. And you might be like, Pastor Benson, what are you saying? Are you just saying all I need to do is agree with Jesus? Don't I have to do something else? Well, the very first step, which is the most important thing, which this woman did, was to agree with him. We need to agree with Christ that everything he has spoken concerning us is true, and that everything that he's spoken concerning us can happen. So that was what I spoke about last week. So today I'm just going to spend a few more minutes highlighting 3 points. So you can call it part 2 of I Met Jesus on an Ordinary Day. After this woman agreed with Jesus, something kicked into her life, and that was the plan of God for her from the very beginning, even before she was born. So, once she agreed, the first thing is Jesus's plan, God's plan for her, kicked into action automatically. It didn't take 2 days, it didn't take 2 weeks, it didn't take 2 months. It kicked into action automatically. So, what are God's plans for you and I? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God begins to say here that, look, his plan is to give us hope and a future. Now, he also says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he says that to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So, what is God's plan here? What is God saying here? Jeremiah, if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, there is something that is quite important. God says he has a plan for us. We agree with that. But he also says that there is something that he gives to us that we must hold on to, which is futuristic. He says, plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, why didn't God just say plans to give you a future? I believe that in the world that we live in now, hope is in very short supply. The future looks, if you turn on the news now, the future looks really dim. They will talk about how bad the economy is. They will talk about how they're bombing someone in one country or the other. Gloom and gloom and gloom and gloom. And you're bound to think that, look, what is happening in this world? Why is this world so gloomy and dim? There's another one that you might say, look, people are not really interested in Jesus. Unlike maybe in the past, like maybe 100 years ago, people had a sense of religion, but now it seems like no one wants to hear about Jesus. What's the point? Why don't we just come to church like this, have a nice time? Why do we have to spend time praying for people or getting people to understand? But God says that there is something that can combat that in our lives. And that thing that can combat that in our life is hope. Hope. So you and I have to hope. There has to be something that we're hoping for. There has to be something that we're looking you in the future. And God says, this is what he's giving you and I, hope. He's giving you hope that your future cannot be derailed as long as you agree with him. So, he brought this woman back into his plan, into the plan that he had for her. He gave her hope. He gave her hope to say, look, irrespective of where you are at the moment, what you think you have or what you think you don't have, there is something that can change that. There is something you need to ask, you need to hold on to with both hands. And this thing is hope. Hope. You need to hold on to hope, I tell you. You need to hold on to hope. I was watching one documentary, and there was this woman that had survived in... During the Second World War in Germany, Adolf Hitler captured a lot of Jews and he put them in concentration camps. And these concentration camps were so terrible. They would pack people like sardines, like animals, and put them in a place and incinerate them, burn them with fire, starve them. I mean, horrible, horrible things. Millions of people that way. There was this woman they were now interviewing. I think she was a young child then, really, well, young person then. So they interviewed her a few years ago. And she survived that ordeal. And they were now asking her, what was it that kept you alive? What was it that kept maybe some other people alive as well? And she said something. She said, what kept her alive was hope. That when she looked around and things seemed hopeless because she didn't know if she was going to starve to death, she didn't know what was going to happen to her. But she said one thing that kept her spirit alive, where she didn't just give up, was that she had hope even when it seemed hopeless. So God highlights in this scripture that there is something you and I need, and that thing is hope. There is what I call supernatural hope. So it's hope that is not based on evidence. It is hope that is not based on your context. It is hope that is not based on what you're able to think about. It is hope that is not based on what you can muster out from a solution perspective. God is saying here that there is a supernatural hope that he gives. And it was this hope that he gave this woman at the well. It was this hope that could allow this woman to look and say, look, I don't know what the future is going to look like. I know what my past has been like. I know what I know. But I am going to embrace this supernatural hope, Jesus, and believe that everything that you have spoken about me will come to pass, even if I don't know how it's going to come to pass. Do you understand? You know, I was telling someone once, you know, when we moved to Bristol years ago to start this church, and we didn't know a single person in Bristol. We were in West London. Man, I was, from a career perspective, I'd worked so hard. I'd gotten my dream job. I was working in the city of London, waking up in the morning, getting on the train. You know, sometimes I wear my nice, sharp City of London suit. Lunchtime, go out on break, walk around. I was cool. We were attending the church in London. Everything was nice. We'd go to church. I mean, engineer is here. Choir is there. I'm not setting up or anything. I just walk into the church and they're like, good morning, Pastor Benson. I go and sit in front and I'm cool. After service, I go home. If anybody has problems in the church, It's not me they're going to come to. They go to me, Apostle. Apostle will sort them out. I'll just go have my Sunday lunch and I'm cool. Do you understand? Then God says, come to Bristol. And we land in Bristol. And I was just thinking, I remember the first weekend that we came. We were just walking around in the city center. And I just said, God, why am I here? I don't know anyone here. Couldn't you have sent any other pastor to this place? Why am I here? But there was something that I had and something that I still have. And that was hope. Beyond everything that was going on around me. I mean, in my own view, my life was cool. But there was a hope that I had to embrace. And that hope I had to embrace was the fact that, look, whatever it is that God has got planned for me is better than what I'm experiencing now. Whatever God has planned for me is better than what I'm experiencing now. I had to embrace that. That's why we're still here today. That's why we're here today. Because I had to embrace a supernatural hope when it seemed like I didn't even know what was going to happen. That is the hope that I still embrace every morning when I wake up. Do you understand? I remember as well, I was mentioning to someone, when we're looking for a building, I was like, in my spirit, I know what God wants to do with this church. I know there's so many things, and we need a building for those things to happen. But looking for a building, I'm using a practical example now. I remember the last building that we put in for. There were about 50 people who were interested in the building. And there were developers amongst them. So we put in our bid, asking price. We got the result back saying, sorry, your bid didn't make it. We now said, okay, fine. The people who won the bid, how much more did they pay than us so that next time we know how to adjust our price? And I think the person on the other end of the phone smiled. I couldn't see her smile though. She said they paid over 2 times the asking price. The same thing happened in the previous one. So I said, as a church, where are we going to get 2.5 times the asking price? But in my mind, I said, well, God, it's your business, and you're the one that has put this thing in our spirit. And like I mentioned, one day I was at home, a pastor friend of mine called me. He said, oh, Pastor Benson, you want to have coffee, tea? I said, yeah, but I'm a hot chocolate man. Cream. Loads of cream and sugar. So I got there, sat down with him, and he said, look, they've outgrown their church, and they don't want to put it out to the public. That are we interested? I said, can you rewind what you just said now? Do you understand? Job done. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there is a hope that we need to embrace. And that hope, you and I might not know how that hope is going to deliver us to the destination that Jesus is taking us to, or how that hope is going to bring us along the path that Jesus wants us to walk. But we must agree with that hope in the plan of God. That was what this woman did. She didn't do any other thing. She just agreed with the hope that Jesus had for her. She agreed with the fact that God's plan for her would come to pass. How that would happen, she had absolutely no idea. So the first point I'm making this morning is that once she agreed with Jesus that God's plan was for her, it kicked into action straight away. The second point I want to make, I'm making 3 points this morning, and it's from the same book of John, John chapter 4 and verse 9. John chapter 4 and verse 9. After the conversation with Jesus, she now leaves Jesus and goes into the town that she was from. And in John chapter 4, verse 9, she says, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah? Come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did. So I found this quite interesting. So the second point that we see here is this. She didn't really understand Jesus fully. Do you get what I mean? She knew that, okay, I've met Jesus, but she still had questions in her mind. What is salvation? What is this? How can this be? How can Jesus say my sins are forgiven? How can someone forgive my sins? How can this happen? So she still had a lot of unanswered questions in her mind. But she ran with what she knew. She didn't have all the answers to the questions she had at that point because she had literally just met Jesus. Do you understand? What she knew was that God has a plan for me. I have hope. At least I know that. Let me begin the journey with Jesus. As I begin the journey, he will answer all those questions. He will. Now, how does this relate to us? Well, it relates to us in this fashion, that there are times that we want to get everything 100% before we think we can be useful in the context of God. Like, Pastor Benson, I must know all the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament before I can talk to someone about Jesus. And besides that, all those things are good. And I encourage you to know the Old Testament, the New Testament. I encourage you to do all those things. But those things cannot be the basis by which we make a move and we begin to tell people about Jesus. Those things cannot be the basis by which we decide, okay, I'm going to participate in what is happening at the local church. So this woman didn't have all the answers to her questions. She just met Jesus, but she just said, okay, with what I know, I will make use of the knowledge I have, the skills that I have. I will join the church. What is the church doing? What are we doing as a church? Let me participate. Let me do something. Even if it's just to tell someone about Jesus. I might not be able to sing. I might not be able to play the guitar like Pastor Benson, but I can teach you if you want to play. I'll recommend some lessons. I might not be able to do all those things yet, but at least I know Jesus. I've met Jesus. I'm going to tell someone about Jesus. Anything that is happening, I will try my best. That was what happened to her. She didn't have the full context of Jesus, but she participated in the kingdom. Now, why am I saying this? And I'll make my last point in a minute. As a church, right? That's American. Delete! I'm not going to be using rights. Why am I saying these things to us this morning? I'm saying this to us this morning because the time has come for us, I believe, as individuals to participate in what God wants to do in Bristol, what God wants to do in Fish Ponds. Now, we've got a new building that God has given us. We're renovating it. We're saying we want it to be a community hub. We're saying we want people to come there to know God. We're saying we want people to feel a sense that God loves them in this community. We're saying it's a place of prayer. We're saying it's a place of worship. We're saying it's a place where we want people to come and they know that they will find comfort. People will not judge them there. People will not harass them there. They'll be like, okay, I'm going to come to this place and they will tell me about God. But if we're going to be able to do that, like this woman, we need to believe that we have a part to play. That God is depending on you and I. We need to also realize that wherever you are now, whatever knowledge you have or you do not have, it doesn't really matter. Jesus wants you and I to just agree and do what we can do at this point. Do you understand? I was talking to, there are people in church here who do shifts, work. And I remember a long time ago, there was this person that, came to church and they said, oh, I do shift work. Am I not be able to come every Sunday? I said, look, as far as you're part of this family, even if it's one Sunday a month, you're free, or one Sunday every 2 months, it is not your coming to church on Sunday that makes you part of this. Come when you can, but whatever you can do outside of the Sundays, we're doing this, whatever you can participate in, come along. So this person now was thinking that, oh, because I can't be here all the time then, I can't really be of any use. And I said, no way. It's not only Sunday we do in this church, do you understand? There are other things that you can do. So what am I saying here? I'm saying, look, let's not exclude ourselves from the plan of God for our lives in the context of the local church. Whatever you can do at the moment, whatever time you have, let's make use of that time together for God. So, the second point is she didn't know too much about Jesus, but with what she knew, she made a move. The final point I'm going to make is from John chapter 4, verses 28 to 30. John chapter 4, verses 28 to 30. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man that has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Verse 30. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. This woman goes to the town where she's from. She leaves her water jar. She tells Jesus, please just give me a minute. I'm not sure she said, give me a minute. I'm paraphrasing. Says, I'll be back. She goes into the town and she tells people about Jesus, and the whole town comes to meet Jesus. I'm sure she must have been amazed that, are you saying that this little effort that I made brought about all these people coming to know Jesus? Do you understand? So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that the effort that she puts in brought these people to Christ. And she probably was amazed, as in, my goodness, you mean just by going to town and telling people about Jesus has brought all these people to Jesus? I'm sure she must have been super surprised. So, what am I saying to us this morning as the third and final point, and we'll pray? The effort that you're able to put into the context of this church as we progress can have a multiplier effect. Do you understand? So, I'm going to end there this morning, and the 3 points I've made this morning is this. The only thing this woman had to do to start was she agreed with Jesus. She agreed in the hope of her future, irrespective of what had happened in her life. The second point I made was that she didn't really know too much about Jesus, but she ran with what she knew. She didn't wait to be a theological expert or to know everything about the Bible. She just made a move with what she knew, with what she could do at that point in time. And the third thing we see is that because she made that effort, so many people came to know Christ because of her. And we now read about her in the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. And I believe that Jesus is saying the same thing, that could have been you. And if that couldn't have been you, because you are not living then, it is you right now. It is you today. You and I can be like this woman. And the only thing God wants us to do is to agree with him. and participate with whatever we are able to. And as we do that, God will really be able to do all the things he wants to do. Do we understand? So I'm going to ask that we just pray this morning. I'll ask that we all rise up and we pray this morning. And the prayer we want to pray is a personal prayer. And that prayer is, God, I've heard that you have a plan for me. I don't even know what that plan is. Maybe you do know what that plan is. God, help me to agree with your plan for me, like this woman. And I tell you, as you and I agree with the plan, as we agree that God has a plan for us, what I'll say is that we will begin to see what God will do in our lives, through our lives on this journey. So this morning is just, God, help me to embrace the hope that you have for me. Let's pray that prayer this morning. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the hope and the future that you have for us. Father, thank you for the hope and for the future that you have for us. Father, thank you for the hope and the future. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that it has really first nothing to do with us, but all to do with you. Father, I'm asking that for everyone that is here and those that are not here that will listen to this message, help us to agree with you. Help us to see the things that you're saying to us as a church and as individuals, that everything that you have planned for us, the past cannot stop it. Our current situations cannot stop it. All we have to do is agree with you. Father, I ask, give us the strength, give us the desire. Give us the desire. Help us to believe, oh God. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Immortal, invincible God, only wise. Lord, as I have spoken your word in simplicity, I'm asking that you will confirm the words that I've spoken as you have asked me to speak it in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you give us the strength and the desire to embrace the hope and the future that you have for us. Lord, I'm asking that for anyone who needs strength, I speak strength into your life in the name of Jesus. For anyone who needs encouragement, Holy Spirit, you're the one that encourages us and that comforts us. I speak comfort and encouragement. Father, I thank you because I know that we will see a fulfillment of everything that we have spoken about in each and every life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.